Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we're talking tech with Antoine McNeil from Black Tech Planet, who is producing Atlanta's Black Tech Week. Antoine McNeil, welcome.
Hey, Kiplin, how you doing?
Thanks so much for being here. Could you share with our listeners exactly what is Black Tech Planet?
Well, hey, Atlanta. Black Tech Planet is a it's a way of bringing folks who are in tech from various backgrounds, particularly people in the African American community or black folks that are have ventured into tech. We are starting to move to be more represented in tech, not only in Atlanta, but across the country. And this organization came together, Black Tech Planet, with the goal of connecting black tech technologists as well as entrepreneurs from around the country and to start a network that we can all kind of tap into and be able to share ideas, inspire one another, and grow together. So that's what Black Tech Planet is.
So it's a place for African-American entrepreneurs and people who are in tech to kind of come together to help increase representation. And you mentioned that representation has been increasing. So are you working with the major tech companies, or is this to, you know, maybe launch our own smaller tech companies, or a little bit of both?
I love it. I love it, because that is one of the that distinction between what I would call corporate tech and an organic or founder tech is really a big chasm. So corporate tech, Google, Apple, MailChimp. I mean, if you've seen the reports around, you know, from various organizations, and in fact, there's a report that comes out of the, I think, the Urban League on the state of Black America in tech, and the numbers are abysmal. We found that it's really hard to for people to break into corporate tech just because a lot of the folks in charge are not able to relate to some other folks that are not in their group. And if you don't have folks there, it's hard to get folks there. So we really believe that the path for African-Americans in tech is to forge our own path, is to harness the innovation and the intellect of our young and really folks of all age that are entrepreneurs in the tech space, and then and help these co-founders have a way to come together, connect, share ideas, to network, and ultimately create pathways to success. And we are doing that with events. So, and we'll talk about Atlanta Black Tech Week, and that's one. We're also in the process of we're preparing to launch a platform here shortly, and we may be making some announcements at Atlanta Black Tech Week that's really similar to a Twitter, but for people that are in the tech community, in diverse people that are in the tech community. So that's what we're doing.
So before we get to Atlanta Black Tech Week, I just want to go back. You mentioned the numbers in corporate tech being dismal. You know, I've dabbled in technology, and a lot of people explain that, you know, for groups to code together, they kind of have to be very close and kind of think alike so that you can, you know, learn that this person's tweak on a code, you know, is this way, or this person's take on, you know, moving a platform forward is this way. Is that the reason it's so hard for African Americans to break into these technology corporations? Because it's not that our universities are not producing, you know, great students and, you know, with great aspirations to join, you know, the Googles and the Microsofts. So we know that we've got people available. But, you know, what is it about tech that's so resistant to hiring, you know, the innovative community that most African Americans are part of.
So that's the question, right? That's the question that that we're all asking ourselves around the country. And if you talk to different people, you're gonna get different responses. But look, my background is in computer engineering, and I've been in tech, you know, for a while. I'm going to tell you how long, but I've been in tech at various levels, corporate as well as in the organic space. And I'm going to give you an answer that probably may not fit the mold of what a lot of people would say, but I would say that I don't think it's resistance. I really don't. I don't think folks are saying we are not going to hire, you know, this black person or this African American. I think it is a couple things. One is confirmation bias. So that basically means that there is a bias out there certain folks have certain skills and others don't. And I think that bias, those biases play out in the interview process. And so it's like, you know, somebody may be interviewing an African American and maybe the person says something, they go, "Oh, well, I'm not sure if he or she is a good fit." It's almost like they were looking for it, maybe not intentionally, but unintentionally, because a lot of the companies have stated goals and even in some cases, maybe incentives for trying to bring on African Americans. So at the highest corporate level, the leadership level, they understand and recognize the diversity. They're trying to push it. But it's at the lower levels where I think folks just can't, in some cases, connect to people. Because at the end of the day, no matter who you are, you're going to hire people with skill set. But there are a lot of people with skill sets. But you generally want to hire people you're comfortable with. And so if you are coming from Silicon Valley, which is has very few African Americans, and you grew up in that area or you grew up even in the Northwest, you know, you may not know black folks. You may not be comfortable just with folks. And that lack of diversity experience in your upbringing then plays itself out in the job market. So our solution to that is what we've got to do is we've got to have a stake. And it's not necessarily, I don't think, going to be a stake by coming in at the ground level and working your way up, because we're seeing that folks are getting blocked from coming in. We're going to have to create our own companies, right? We're going to have to innovate, and we're doing that. There's a lot of folks out there doing great things, and then as our companies grow, right, we're gonna be extremely open to black folks and with those skill sets, and then we're going to wrap them in. The one other thing I'm going to say also that I think is very important, because I know you mentioned coding. I also think there's a stereotype that we have that tech is just coding, and it is so much bigger than that. So my philosophy is that, first of all, tech is the new hip-hop. It really is. I think tech is the new hip-hop. I think the internet and tech is the great equalizer, because when you produce product and there's no one to really block you from getting it out, because we have the internet that connects us all, and it's a big marketplace, and those products do well and you start to excel, then you know, I mean, capitalism takes over, right? You're gonna sell product, people are going to notice you, and then you will gain the ability to move the needle in any direction you want, because you will be a proven entity. So in our community, we look at tech as just on the coding side. We've got to start to expand that to say, no, there are marketing people in tech also. If marketing is your thing, you are a techie in marketing. If you're just an entrepreneur, if you look at it, the majority of these folks that have started these tech companies, a lot of them are not techie. Steve Jobs was not an engineer. You know, Bill Gates was not an engineer. These guys were people, and I think Bill dabbled a little bit later, but these folks were people that were primarily business guys in tech. And so we got to stop looking at it like it's the nerd in the corner. It's everybody, and it's the new hip hop, because we're starting to get in at larger numbers, and we are disrupting the whole space and creating a niche that is going to be so different in tech, because it's the culture that we're going to bring to it, that I think is going to ultimately have a profound impact on the world of tech as we start moving forward.
Well, that brings us right to Atlanta Black Tech Week. So, Antoine, please share with our listeners what Atlanta Black Tech Week is and why, you know, the Black Tech Planet is using this platform to increase awareness about tech for African Americans, but also what does it mean? If you are out there listening right now, and like you said, you know, they're marketers, they're entrepreneurs, they're people in communications, people in operations and logistics who may not think that they're techies, why should all of these folks, you know, want to know about and want to participate in the upcoming Atlanta Black Tech Week?
So what I would say, Kiplin, is that if you're in America and you got time, right, you're going to be here for a while or in the world period that we're living in, you are interacting with technology at a rate that is not only increasing at a fast rate, because there's something called Moore's Law that says basically processing power, et cetera, will double every 18 months. And we're starting to see that with the advent of some quantum computing that's on the horizon, that is about to change. There's about to be a significant technology jump. We are on the cusp of a lot of changes. So everyone is already coping and engaging with technology, even through your iPhone, right? Through your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever mobile device you have, live out of that device. There's some people that have that device and can only do 10% of the stuff on there. There's some that can do 50 and some that can do 80. We are all doing something, though, and it's only going to become more necessary. And not only necessary, out of that comes a tremendous amount of opportunities. Here's why everyone needs to be involved in tech, no matter if you're marketing, operations, business side, or a technologist. You need to be involved in tech because that is where the future is. So I'd like to encourage everybody to just look at it simply like this. So, you know, maybe 100 years ago or so, we start transitioning into the industrial age, right? And that going from an agrarian society to an industrial society. Anybody who did anything to mechanize ways of living processes, there was a tremendous business opportunity for them to make money and change their lives. If you figured out how to simply, store food in better ways and created something called a refrigerator, which actually was famously an African American that did that. There was money in it for you and a way to change your wealth for yourself and your family. If you did something like create cars, like Henry Ford did, to get people off a horse and bike, there was a lot of wealth in that. Okay, so we're in the information age, and we were kind of sitting in that age for a while, laying down the infrastructure, getting the internet across the world, starting to connect everybody. We still got ways to go. But at this point, there is enough connected. We are reaching what I would call a tipping point, right? We're reaching a tipping point where we have everything that we do today that is still mechanized or still in that industrial world where you are pressing physical buttons, where you're churning physical things. All of that is about to transition to digital and information, that have it. You see all these people, you hear all these people getting excited about the Internet of Things. Internet of Things, what is that? That is taking everything you've been doing, those things that were all separate on analog devices or had wires running through them. That's about making them wireless, connecting them all, and any company, any person that wakes up and decides to do something that we're already doing differently and just makes that a part of this integrated network, and they are going to do very well. They're going to change their lives for themselves and their family. There's a brother that's working out at, I think, Atlanta Technology Village, he took something so simple, like people cutting grass, basically came up with a sensor that you stick in the ground. It'll tell you when your grass is grown up high. It can automatically call a grass cutting service that you register with, and they'll come out and do it. It'll tell you if you're, I think it does your soil conditions, if you need to put down some fertilizer or whatever. I mean, that's a simple thing, cutting grass. We need to connect that to this digital world that we're in. Everyone needs to be at conferences, at get-togethers like this, so that they can begin to understand how this world is changing, and they need to be a part of it so that they can help move us into the next century.
Antoine, are we coming? It seems almost as if we're bringing up the rear, so to speak. I read recently about a young technologist, so to speak, a 17-year-old who attends the DEF CON hacking convention, which he has attended every year since he was like, 9 or 10 years old. And he was one of the students who hacked into our voting system recently and wrote an essay about it, basically explaining that he wasn't even a good hacker, but he's been attending this DEF CON, hacking convention since he was 9. Have we missed the boat? I'm not trying to say it's too late, but how do we get our community to really understand and embrace this digital age, not just because you've got the latest apps on your phone, but because you know what's going on, behind the scenes? I remember a person telling me that they had taken off the GPS tracking on their device so that they couldn't be tracked. And I was trying to explain to them that it doesn't matter whether you've got GPS on or off. Your phone is still pinging towers.
That's right.
And,
right.
The right. only way you can right. literally not be tracked is if the battery is out or if the battery is really super dead.
That's
but,
right.
But it seems like, we've missed that grasp of what technology actually is. Is it too late for us? Is Atlanta Black Tech Week here to catch us up? Or do we still have time?
So I would say Atlanta Black Tech Week is here to get us in the conversation and to get us moving at a faster pace. So the thing is, we're out here. Our stories aren't being told, and we got to do better than that. But when I look around Atlanta and I go to a lot of the different co-working spaces, there's a new co-working space called HQ Auburn, HQ Auburn on Auburn Avenue. It just opened up. Also, you got the gathering spot, and we have a number of other facilities that we are opening up. We are starting to grow in numbers. But we've got to come together at places like Atlanta Black Tech Week where we can talk about what other folks are doing. We can be inspired by the successes of others. We can, have a shoulder to lean on and discuss our challenges. And when somebody finds a pathway to success, we need a forum and we need ways of communicating with one another so that we can see how that brother or sister over there did it. Because as we talked about before, We're not able. We've had a challenging time getting into the Silicon Valley space, and so there's a old famous Einstein saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So we can keep knocking our heads on the door of Google and Apple, et cetera, or we can start creating companies, working together, and figuring this ecosystem out and how to take our community to the next level, how to get people engaged, and how to bring up the next generation of technologists, those that code, those that are in marketing, those that are in operations, and those that are just the idea guys and girls. So these events, and there's several of them around the country that have that exist for the purposes of bringing Black folks, African Americans together to have these conversations. And we need all of them. We need every single one of them, and in fact, we need more, because we've got to get everybody out of their corners, talking together, connected, sharing these stories, and then starting to do great things. If we can do that, just like we did with hip-hop, not only can we help push the country forward with a lot of valuable products that we'll bring to all the consumers, we will also then, I'm confident, that we will start to, out of that will emerge some uniqueness, right? Because we have different cultural elements that tend to shine when we have an opportunity to really create in an open, fair market. And I'm confident that we're going to see that in the products that we start creating in the next 10 years. I think we're almost just at a tipping point, and we just need those people who've been sitting on the edge of their seats thinking about, well, I'm kind of interested. You got to get up. You've got to get up or you're going to get left behind. And we don't want that. We want you to be part of what we're trying to do. We want you to come and join. Even if you don't think you know anything about tech, you got to start somewhere. And Atlanta Black Tech Week is what we're doing for folks in Atlanta and the Southeast region to come together. We got folks coming from out of the state as well to come together, have this conversation, and start moving forward.
So before I ask another question, let's give our listeners the details, the dates, how they can attend, you know, registration, all that good stuff.
Okay, so Atlanta Black Tech Week is on August 29th through August 31st. It is at a number, so we have a host of events. Some of them are free. So I did say free, and some of them are paid. Now, we do have right now, it will be running through, I think, the end of Saturday or Sunday. We have a sponsor that has paid for over 100 tickets to the first folks that sign up and take those tickets. So I would encourage people to get on there and sign up before all those decrement down to zero. But what we have going on those days are a couple of events that I can roll right into. We start off on Wednesday at the African American Research Library in that theater there. If you haven't been, it's real nice. I encourage you to get down there with GovTech. And GovTech is led by one of the gentlemen who's leading that component for a Black Tech Force. It's Greg Clay. And we have a host of councilmen. We have folks that are running technology from various cities and counties, from the federal government, folks that are involved in 8A contracts, and that's Minority Disadvantaged Business Special Federal Designation contracts, where you have an ability to get more contracts with the federal government there. And we're going to have a theater full of people with some really good panelists talking about GovTech, what's going on, what's next, and how we advance in that area. Then we leave from there and we go to a reception. And it's kind of the kickoff reception at 6:30 at Bites restaurant in Midtown. You get on, if you just go to AtlantaBlackTechWeek.com, you can register for that. That's a free event. GovTech is free as well. And then you can sign up for that. It's called Startup Stories. We're going to have a bar. We want people to mix and mingle and network, do some of that networking I've been talking about. And we're going to have folks telling stories at some point of the challenges they've had, you know, being an entrepreneur and an entrepreneur in a technical world, some of the secrets to how they overcame those challenges. That's going to be hosted by Cairo Queen. She is a technologist in Atlanta, and she's been doing a lot for a long time in Atlanta around tech. From there, we have our main Tech Talks, also known as Taste of Tech, on Thursday and Friday. That is at the W Hotel. That starts at 8:30, and it goes to 5:30 each day. We have a series of speakers. We have a tech track that's led by Travis Nunnally. He's part of the Tech Twins. They run the most innovative African-American tech code house in the city. They've done a lot of projects that have ended up on Forbes. They've done projects that were sold to Amazon. They do projects for the schools, for Morehouse and Spelman. They've done a lot of innovative work. And then we have a series of speakers from all over the country that are fairly well known. And then we have a financial tech, so how do you get funding? And that's led by Kevin Gomez of Northwestern Mutual. And that brother knows everything about how to get some money. And in fact, I meet with him regularly because he always creates a new, because I'm always looking, and he always creates a new pathway for how we can fund some of the activities that we are doing for the community.
Antoine, and then I just want to give the website again. It's AtlantaBlackTechWeek.com for registration, and the event is taking place August 29th through August 31st. And that website, AtlantaBlackTechWeek.com, you can find out all of the information. You can register. And that first 100 people who register have an opportunity to get their registration paid for by one of the sponsors. Before I have to let you go, I just want to ask one last question. I have always thought that our community, when you look at anything in the world, trends in fashion, in hair, in music, in dance, it all starts in the African-American community, and it goes out everywhere. You keep talking about hip-hop. Why is it that these other companies, these mainstream companies, why don't they find that this innovation, this creativity that we bring to everything, why don't they understand or don't see that we would also bring that to technology?
You know, Kipling, here's what I think. Sometimes you can't see what's right in front of your face. And especially when a lot of the things that we do, we haven't traditionally held on to them. The first time in my mind that we really have is with the hip-hop community. And I always have a debate with some of the old heads. And they say, oh, you know, these hip-hop folks, this and that. And I tell them, I said, listen, the hip-hop generation is the first generation that actually created a segment of cultural society and actually held on to it. Right. So you're right. The African-American community has spawned so many cultural so much cultural commerce, but we haven't held on to it. You can start with jazz or blues or rock or any of those. And it somehow was taken over by the system and the infrastructure. But that's going away. Right, because the hip hop generation was so disruptive, it was so kind of in your face and counterculture that you know, people didn't want to, you know, originally the system didn't want to deal with it, and the system held off this group long enough to really begin to establish some infrastructure. Right, we start to figure out how to sell our own stuff. You know, and that CDs came around, you know, print CDs and sell them on the street. We started creating pathways to get people to positions of status where then they could bring up other folks like Jermaine Dupri, who started bringing in folks, and Puff Daddy. And then they just kind of kept moving forward, right, and created now these empires with, you got P. Diddy, who, you know, also is a major stakeholder in Revolt, et cetera. That we have permanent infrastructure now that looks like us. We've got to do the same thing in tech. And I want to leave you with a thought. So, and I love to ask people this: what is the first social media? What is the first social media that you recall, Kipling?
Probably for me, it would be something like the AOL chat rooms. Those were the first, you know, things where you were actually communicating with people all over the place.
Okay, no, I think that's good. And then as that started to expand into ecosystems that, you know, where people could kind of have profiles and all of that, the first one, and there's still some debate on this, and we got to make sure we're in this debate, and we put a pin in history, is Black Planet. Black Planet was in use before Facebook, right? So really, and I don't know if you remember Black Planet.
I remember Black Planet. Of course I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so really, the invention of social media, folks want to give it to MySpace or Zuckerberg, folks were on Black Planet before there was ever a Facebook.
Or a MySpace.
So this culture, and if you think about it, it makes sense, right? Because the culture is very people-focused. Our culture is very people-focused. It's very engaged and, you know, connecting. Right, bringing people together. It's very social. So you got Omar Wasu, who created Black Planet, is really the founder of social media. And we are no longer in that space. Now, he sold the company, right? And so now, you know, that history kind of goes away. But we need to make sure that we understand that we have been on the forefront of
social media.
And social media has helped build out the internet. At a way that, you know, because without social media, people would not probably, I don't know how prevalent it would have become at the rate that it has, you know, grown to. So our contribution as a community is huge. So we've got to understand that. We need to honor that, right? And then we need to continue to figure out how we can take a lot of these minds that got brilliant ideas, absolutely brilliant ideas, and harness those, give them a way to succeed. You know, this whole, you know, Series A, Series B funding rounds and all that stuff that we have for startup companies, it does not work for us because the people that are funding that generally won't have the patience and the confidence in the people that they're funding. So you might get some money and then a month later, they're like, oh, you haven't made $1 million? Oh, we're going to take the company. You know, and so that model's not going to work. So we've got to come up with something that's different for this community, and we start that by getting together at places like Atlanta Black Tech Week and others. There have got to be others. And to have conversations and figure out how we are going to move forward and create multiple pathways for folks to be successful, for us to identify those successes, to share them, inspire others, and for us to grow as a community. And
Antoine,
that's what we're all about at Black Tech Planning, and that's what we're doing at Atlanta Black Tech Week.
Antoine McNeil, thank you so much. It's AtlantaBlackTechWeek.com, August 29th through August 31st. Antoine, thank you.
Thank you, Kiplin. Hope to see you there.
You've been listening to The Local Take, community engagement from 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. You can leave comments or questions on our community engagement line at 404-880-6211 or email kiplinprimus@gmail.com. Past interviews are available for on-demand listening at WCLK.com. The Local Take is produced by Kiplin Primus, Rob Maynard, and Jami Wellman. WCLK is a proud licensee of Clark Atlanta University.